Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub has a lesson on suffering.
And when you go through suffering, when you go through it, can you rejoice in it? Because the more that you rejoice when you suffer, the more you'll realize just how far it is that the Lord has brought you. Right? That's the point of suffering. It's a purpose. It's not surprising. It's a testing for you to see if you can rejoice.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. One of the most unpopular promises of Christianity is also one of the most important to be aware of, and that is the promise of suffering. Today, Pastor Jeff describes some of the different ways Christians can prepare for the inevitable pains of life and why God allows suffering at all. We're finding out together as we continue our study in 1 Peter, Christians in Crisis. And if you missed any part of this series so far, or you'd like to share one of these messages with a friend, visit bravemedia.online. And now with today's message titled, Enlisted to Suffer, here's Pastor Jeff.
And as we continue our heart of worship, let's go before our Father in heaven. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak directly to us today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we gather here today because we come to worship you because you are so worthy and we're so in need of you. And Lord, we ask that during this time of the proclamation of your word, Lord, that you would speak directly to us. Lord, help us receive that. And so, Lord, we just confess to you, if there's any known sin in our life right now, Lord, we just confess that to you right now. So, Lord, have your way with us. Lord, do what you want with us. And Lord, help us to hear what you say, to believe what you say, and to put in practice the very things you show us. And now all God's people who are ready to receive his word and put into practice those very things agreed with me by very loudly saying the word, amen, amen. You know, oftentimes when we start on a new adventure, we're aware that there can be some challenges, obstacles, or pain, but we usually don't focus on those. So for instance, when people enlist in the military and they're going to be part of the infantry, they are aware that they're going to be on the battle lines in the front. But when they enlist, they're not thinking about what it's going to be like in that very moment when people are firing bullets at them. When people get engaged, they're aware because they've heard other married couples tell them, in your marriage, you will have challenges. But they're not focused on what those challenges will be at the time when they're engaged and just getting ready to be married. Wives who desire to be pregnant, when they realize that they want to be pregnant, they don't spend much time thinking about the pain that's going to come 9 months later once they are pregnant, but they realize that it's theirs. It's not something that they focus on in the moment. Well, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ and being born again and being a believer in Christ, suffering is part of the package that comes with being a Christian. And yet so often, it's not something we think about when we're first born again. It's not something that we even like to talk about after we're born again. But suffering is inherent. It is part of being a believer in Christ. Just like a person in the infantry is going to face battle. Just like a mother that is pregnant is going to experience pain in delivery. Just like a married couple is going to experience some trials in their marriage. As a believer, you are guaranteed going to experience suffering. And when we do, it can often be confusing because we don't know why is this going on and why is it I'm suffering? I'm supposed to be a believer and God loves me. And if he loves me, why is this stuff going on? And for that reason, we're going to God's word today because God wants to give us the purpose for what suffering is all about. So if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to open up to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 12 and go through the end of the chapter. And as we do, I'd like to read those verses aloud and then we will unpack them together. Hear the word of the Lord. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. And in this text, we're going to talk about the purpose of suffering. As Christians, you are going to suffer. You will suffer. Many of you have suffered already for your faith. Some of you, if you haven't yet, will. And here's what God wants us to know about suffering. And the first is this, that suffering for Christ is not surprising, but rather an opportunity to rejoice. Suffering for Christ is not surprising, but an opportunity to rejoice. Notice the text. He starts off with saying this, beloved. Beloved, we've heard that word before. We've talked about that word before. But before we talk about suffering, you need to understand who you are in Christ. You need to be resolved in your identity. And here's how God views you, as his beloved. That means you're his chosen one. That means you're special and unique and priceless and cherished and honored. That's how God sees you. And if you don't own that, when suffering comes, you'll start asking the wrong question. You'll start asking the question, why doesn't God love me anymore? And doesn't God care about me? And if God loves me so much, then why am I going through this? Here's what he's saying. Beloved, let's get this straight from the get-go. God says, because you are born again, I love you with an unconditional love. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to believers in Christ. So let me just pause here in the message to tell you, if you're not a believer in Christ, God has a love for you as well, but there's a special love he has for those who have trusted in him. And if you've never trusted in Christ, the good news is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Meaning this, if you don't have a relationship with God, you can have a relationship with God, and you can have it right now where you are sitting in your seat by repenting of your sin and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when that takes place in your life and you recognize, I'm not good, but God is good, and Jesus Christ came as the perfect God-man and lived the perfect life and died on the cross in my place for all my sin and was buried and rose from the grave, and I'm exchanging my sin life for his righteous life, and I'm confessing him to be Lord of my life. When that happens, the Bible says you're born again. When you're born again, here's what you need to know. You're more than just loved. God loves the world. You are beloved. You are chosen. You are special. And church, you need to hear this, because when we talk about suffering, get it down in your core. Even when you suffer, and especially when you suffer, you need to be reminded of the fact God loves you so much. He loves you so much. That's part of the reason why you are suffering, okay? So beloved, here's what he says. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. He says, do not be surprised. Now, he uses the word fiery ordeal. You need to understand, at this time in church history, Nero was the emperor, and Nero set fire pretty much to the city of Rome. The city burned down. Most people think it was Nero that set fire to the city, but what Nero did was he blamed the Christians. Christians were being marginalized anyway. They were thought of a fanatical group that ate flesh and drank blood because they took communion, right? And so they were like, these people eat flesh, they drink blood, they're radicals, they're out there. So it was another way of blaming Christians. And then what Nero went on to do is he would dip Christians in wax and light them on fire to light his parties and all sorts of different things. And so here's what Peter's saying. Do not be surprised at this fiery ordeal that's happening. Do not be surprised that you suffer for the name of Christ as though some strange thing were happening to you. It means Christians, listen to me. You are going to suffer for being a Christian. You are. And when it happens, beloved, do not be surprised. Now, when I was in sixth grade, I remember we went out for pizza one night, and when we were going out for pizza, my parents dropped me off and said, go in and get us a table, and we'll be right in. And so I walked in, and it was the craziest thing, because I walked into the pizza place. I had two different rooms. I walked to the back room, and a bunch of my friends were there, and they were all just sitting around, and I was like, I can't believe you guys are here. And they're like, yeah, we just all wanted to come out. And we started talking, and then my parents came in. I'm like, yeah, you'll never guess who's here. It didn't dawn on me. It was a surprise birthday party for me. I mean, it was just all my friends, and it was so awesome. And I mean, they're laughing their heads off, right? And when you get surprised that way, then you're like, oh, I'm going to be on alert from now on. Now, I married a gal, and when I married this gal, birthdays are a humongous deal in our house. I mean, they're the most significant days in our calendar year. When I turned 40, there was no doubt my wife was gonna do something for my birthday. She hadn't told me about it, and so she told me where to meet her. She blindfolded me at Park Meadows Mall, put me in a car, took me to where we were going. I kinda had an idea. I'd been thinking about it. I knew who was gonna be there. I knew what was gonna be served, and it pretty much went how I thought. Now, at the end of the night, she said, "Were you surprised?" And I said, "Not at all." Like, I knew it was coming, right? As Christians, that's what suffering should be like. Now, we can't choose what kind of suffering is going to come down the way. We can't choose the way in which we're going to suffer. And the reason is, if we chose it, it wouldn't be that hard. It wouldn't be as much of suffering. Suffering comes in ways that we would never, ever choose. When it comes, beloved, don't be surprised as though it were a strange thing that's happening to you. Meaning this, I believe we serve an awesome, faithful, loving, prospering God. I believe that God has our best interests at heart. I really do. Where I part ways from the prosperity gospel is this. I do not believe that 100% of the time God always has to do stuff in your life to make your life feel better. Okay, I don't believe that. I do believe we serve a prospering God. I do believe God can prosper us. I believe all that. I believe he's generous. But here's what I also believe. I also believe he loves us so much, he will allow suffering and cause suffering at times to come into our life to grow us. Suffering is going to happen to you. And when it does, don't be surprised. Don't think God doesn't love you anymore, because God definitely loves you. And here's what the purpose is. What does he say in the verse 12 here? He goes, "Which comes upon you for your testing." God uses suffering to test us. He uses suffering to see how far have you grown in your faith. Now, if you think about school for a while, there's different kinds of testing. I remember learning my multiplication tables when I was like in third grade, and that was a big deal, trying to learn all those. And then I remember going to high school, and you had a whole different set of things, and you had to read books for different classes. And then I remember being in college, and they would give you a stack of books for classes that you had to do. And I remember then in my doctoral level courses, not only did you have to choose the books, it felt like you were reading the entire library, and then they gave you oral examinations after you wrote your paper and then critiqued everything you did. I mean, there's different levels of testing. As you grow in your faith, there will be different levels of testing. And as you go through them, it gives you an opportunity to see just how far you've come. Now, how do you know how far you've come? The text tells us, the text says, "Which comes upon you for your testing, don't be surprised as though some strange thing, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing," don't forget that word, "so that at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation." When suffering comes, it's a test to see if you really are rejoicing in the Lord. Now, Paul says in Philippians 3:10, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice," which isn't that shocking, because Christians walk around all the time, "Praise the Lord, PTL, PTL, hallelujah, praise the Lord." I mean, we talk like that, but what makes it so shocking when you read the book of Philippians is Paul's writing it under house arrest. Paul's writing it wondering if he's gonna get his head chopped off any minute. Paul's writing it in a suffering time, and he's saying in the middle of that, "Rejoice in the Lord always." In case you didn't get it, I'll say it again, rejoice. When suffering comes, it's an opportunity for you to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice is not just singing a song or listening to your radio. Rejoice means from the depths of who you are that you're gonna give God praise, that he's deemed you worthy to suffer for his great name. That's exactly what it means, right? And here's what happens. As you grow in your faith, you'll see that. I was recalling in this message, like when I was doing this, like some 24, 25 years ago when I was becoming a youth pastor, I had to go meet a person to interview that was part of this organization. I had met with other people, and we were sitting at a restaurant, and in front of all the people at the table, he looked across me and said, "So Jeff, just tell us all what Christ is doing in your life." Not a big deal now, but I'm telling you, back then, I'm like, "You mean in public? You mean in front of all these people, like all eight people? You want me to talk about Christ and what he's doing in my life?" It's a big deal for me. And so I just started sharing from my heart, here's what Jesus is doing in my life, and here's why I want to be a youth pastor, and here's what I want to do with kids, and here's how I want to lead people to Christ. And I shared from my heart, but I remember being totally nervous, like, what if I shared it wrong? What if I got the verses out of order? What if I didn't do the Christian? I mean, I just was nervous. If you were to ask me today, "Jeff, what's Christ doing in your life?" I wouldn't get nervous. I wouldn't get nervous if there were non-believers around the table. I wouldn't get nervous whoever was there. I mean, just a couple days ago, we were in the Orlando airport, and this guy came up. We started talking to him. Next thing you know, 40 minutes later, we're sharing Christ with him. We're telling him how to listen to messages from our church and what he needs to do. And he gets done. He says, man, my two older brothers are Christian. My mom prays for me every single day. To which my wife chimes in and says, that's why we're having this conversation, because your mom is faithful prayer and I'm a mom too. And that's why you're here. You need to listen to everything we're telling you. I mean, it was awesome, right? Not scared to do that anymore, but I was scared then. That was like a big deal for me. And when you go through suffering, which you can't choose the suffering, when you go through it, can you rejoice in it? Because the more that you rejoice when you suffer, the more you'll realize just how far it is that the Lord has brought you, right? That's the point of suffering. It's a purpose. It's not surprising. It's a testing for you to see if you can rejoice. And there's benefit to this. You can write this verse down if you can't flip there fast enough. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5, he says, and not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, that's suffering, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Suffering brings about what? Perseverance, character, hope. Suffering's good. Suffering's what grows us. Suffering's what allows us to know that this faith that we claim and we say that we believe, when we go through suffering, it gives us an opportunity to exalt and worship in the Lord. It shows us just how far we've come, right? Last year when I had my vocal cord surgery and I wasn't able to speak for 3 weeks, they told me to be completely silent, which for me personally, I think is a bigger miracle than anyone I've ever read about in the Bible. But in doing that, during that time when I couldn't speak, knowing that my whole profession is geared upon being able to communicate and speak, I realized even more of my identity in telling the Lord, even if I can never speak again and I have to learn sign language to get this thing out, I'll be the fastest sign language communicator ever. But even if I have to do it, I know who I am, and I'm rejoicing in you because of who I am and that you love me so much that you've saved me. That's what suffering does for us. Suffering gives us a deeper awareness of Christ's presence, that we can rejoice in him even when things aren't going our way, and it's to our benefit. And why should we be rejoicing? Because at the revelation of Jesus Christ at his coming, there will be incredible exaltation and joy. That's what the text tells us back in 1 Peter. Right? And so what we're thinking about there, I mean, picture this. Have you ever been at a concert, Christian concert, whatever, or at a football game, like before the team comes out or before the band takes the stage, there's like this anticipation or this excitement before the performers or the team get out on the field or on the stage. There's an electric energy. And sometimes even before they come out, maybe the place goes dark and they start showing a video of them walking towards the stage or walking toward the field. And you can feel the emotion bubbling up, right? This is how he's telling us to live as Christians, especially when we're suffering. When we're suffering is a great time to remember, oh, Jesus, you're coming back soon. And I hope it's today. And I'm going to rejoice with you in such a way that if you broke through into human history again in your full bodily, physical, glorious state, it will be awesome. That's how he wants us to rejoice. He wants us to be rejoicing in such a way that when Jesus returns, we're not surprised by his coming back either. That even in our suffering, when we're suffering all these things, just know they're temporary. They're not a big deal. They feel like a huge deal. They're not a big deal. And we're rejoicing in such a way that if Jesus broke through the clouds right now and came back, we would be like, woo! I mean, we're anticipating that bubbling up. And when we go through suffering, here's what we're realizing. Nothing in this world will ever satisfy me to the full. This world will never, ever be my home the way I think it's going to be. There's always going to be pain in this world. And suffering is a way of reminding me that I shouldn't be surprised by this. I shouldn't be shocked by this. I shouldn't be like, what's going on? I should recognize God loves me so much. This is an opportunity to rejoice that my time on this planet is short and he's coming back soon. Amen? That's the whole point of suffering. The whole point of suffering is not for it to be surprising, but it's an opportunity for us to rejoice. He gives us a second purpose. He says suffering for Christ is not shameful. It's not shameful, but it's an opportunity to glorify God. Suffering for Christ is not shameful, but an opportunity to glorify God. He says, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Blessed means happy. Blessed means highly favored. If you're reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because why? Because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Now, let's talk about this. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. There's not two different Holy Spirits. He's talking about the spirit of glory and the spirit of God. Okay, first of all, spirit of God, that's his name. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three distinct persons. That's God's name, the spirit of God, right? Right? What's his nature or his character? His nature or character is glory. That's who our God is. Here's what happens at the moment you're converted. At the moment you're converted, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. In the Old Testament, we read about the Holy Spirit coming upon people for a purpose, for a period of time, and then maybe leaving a person for a period of time. That's why when David prays in Psalm 51, he prays, "Do not take the Holy Spirit away from me." Right? We don't have to pray that way anymore. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He will be with us forever. That's what the Bible promises. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit rests upon you. You know what rest means? It means he refreshes you. It means he abides with you. It means he remains in you and through you. He's not going anywhere. That's what it means. So when it comes to our suffering, we need to realize if we're being reviled for the name of Jesus, for living out the gospel, if we're being reviled, we're blessed. You're blessed, right? Now, some of us, and maybe many of us in this lifetime, won't endure physical a punishment for what we believe. It's happening in droves all over the world. There's more martyrdom for Jesus now as a Christian than at any other time in human history. But while you may not experience that, what you may experience is if you speak up and live out your life, you may experience suffering in the workplace. You may experience it in your neighborhood. You may experience it at your school, right? You may experience it out in the world in some capacity. I mean, you're going to experience suffering somewhere, right? But here's what you can know. When you suffer, here's what you need to know. The Spirit of God remains in you and he rests upon you. And when you're rejoicing, it's the Spirit of God magnifying the resurrected Christ in and through your life, through your suffering. I mean, we read stories in the New Testament. I mean, we shouldn't be shocked, right? I mean, we study the person of Jesus. Did Jesus Christ suffer at all during his earthly life? Absolutely, suffered more than any person has ever suffered. But then we read about Paul. Did Paul ever suffer any? Well, yeah, he suffered immensely. Did Peter ever suffer? Well, yeah, he did too. What about Stephen? Did he suffer? Yeah, he was martyred. It's hard to find somebody in the New Testament that wasn't suffering in some way. And yet we in the 21st century find it shocking to believe that we'd suffer. We find it surprising that we would suffer. And when we do, we can sometimes feel like maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I shared the gospel wrong. We feel shame. There's no shame in suffering for the name of Jesus. There's great glory that comes from it. Amen.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the beginning of a three-part message titled Enlisted to Suffer. If you missed any portion of this broadcast, or you'd like to share one of these messages with a friend or family member, head over to bravemedia.online. And to get even more out of these daily broadcasts, download the Brave Church app. Our app will help you stay up to date with ministry news, fellowship events, and service opportunities. And you can also access Pastor Jeff's sermon notes to go along with these messages all from your phone. Just log into your favorite app store and search for Brave Church Denver. Today, Pastor Jeff encouraged all Christians to maintain the right perspective on suffering, to see our pain not as a mistake or withdrawal of God's provision, but as an opportunity to grow closer to Him. And there's a lot more to dive into of this crucial subject, so be sure to join us for the second part of Pastor Jeff's message tomorrow. But first, if you're in the Denver metro area and looking for a church to call home, we have a place just for you. We invite you to join us in person for weekend services at Brave Church. Make plans to join us for worship and a new message from Pastor Jeff at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. Our community is growing, and we'd love to help you get connected. If you don't live near the Denver area, you can still be part of our weekend services through our live stream online. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down, and click the Brave Church link at the bottom of the page for details and directions. And if you have questions or maybe something to share with Pastor Jeff, a comment or a testimony, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out by email, hello@bravechurch.co. You can also drop a letter in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. I'm your host, Bill Carl, and we'll see you tomorrow for the second part of Pastor Jeff's message, Enlisted to Suffer. That's next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.